We're in Hebrews chapter number 11, if you open your Bibles there. I want us to consider once again an individual that's named in this chapter who God says this is full of faith. And I want you to remember this as you think about that statement that God says this individual is full of faith. I want you to remember that what matters the most is what God thinks concerning your life. Now, I believe I've said it on Wednesday night in our Add to the Faith series that our testimony to others is important. There's no doubt you need to have influence with those around you. But can I tell you that the Lord Jesus must have the preeminence in your life? Now, whether you give him the rightful place he deserves or not, understand that he is the preeminent one. And that means he's uniquely the only begotten Son of God, the sinless Son of God. He's our Lord and Savior. He is the preeminent one. Colossians 1 verse 18 says this, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And notice it says that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, opposed to that, I would submit to you this morning is the struggle that each one of us face, and that is this, to put ourselves as the preeminent one in our own lives. In fact, John the Apostle spoke of one who was in that way in 3 John, verse number 9. He said this, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, now notice what he says about this man, who loveth the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. And so when we allow Christ to have his rightful place in our lives as the preeminent one, we'll not only be concerned with what everyone else thinks, and I think you ought to have a good testimony, but first and foremost, we'll be concerned with what God thinks. And I think that's so important. In this series entitled Faith, Full Christianity, we're actually on the 10th message on the subject. And the idea was simply this, that we'd be challenged as a church family, Liberty Baptist Church, to increase in our faith. And along with that increase of faith, I pray it is that you have availed yourself of the Wednesday night prayer and Bible study series. It's entitled this, Add to Your Faith. And so that's the subject we've been dealing with on Wednesday nights. And I just want to encourage you this morning, on this Sunday morning, if you haven't been coming to the Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, I want to encourage you to be here and be a part of what takes place on Wednesday nights. Now, this Wednesday night in particular, I'm especially encouraging you to come because we're going to pray very specifically for Vacation Bible School coming up. And we're going to have a season of prayer and dealing with our Vacation Bible School. So I believe this, that there's power when the local church gathers together specifically for prayer. Does it matter that you're not here? Well, let me ask the question. Does it matter if I cut your toe off or your big finger off? Would you mind if I cut your hand off this morning? You say, no, Pastor, I wouldn't let you do that. Well, guess what? You're part of the body of Christ. And everyone members one of another. So when you're not here, it's just like us missing a toe or we're missing a hand or we're missing a leg or something like that. And so it doesn't matter. Absolutely. Just as much as every appendage on your body matters to you, it matters that you be here and part of the local church. And so if you cannot be here, then I'd encourage you this way. You can download our church app. You can find that. I can get you the link to that if you don't have it. Or you can go to our website and find the Wednesday night prayer and Bible study series, Add to Your Faith. Now, I've taken the time to upload on that website the notes from each Wednesday night that we've met. And so perhaps you've missed a couple of here and there. You can go back and you can literally pull those notes up on your phone. If you put them on your computer, they're fillable PDFs, and you can follow along with the service. Now, it'd be far better for you to be here, but I'm telling you, if you haven't, you can go back and listen to those things. Now, here's the truth. We want to be able to grow in our walk with the Lord, and we want to enable you to do that as much as you're willing to take steps forward in faith. So we think it's important that we post those things on our church website to give you every opportunity available for the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Now, this record that's here in Hebrews 11 is a catalog. I want you to think about this, from the Lord. This is a catalog that the Lord selected. Now, the Lord could have selected many other folks. You think about all the folks that God has dealt with through the centuries and through time, and God could have selected a lot other people, but He chose these specific records that are given to us by the Holy Spirit of God in Hebrews chapter number 11. And I would tell you that it gives you a well-rounded view of what the faith life is for the Christian. A well-rounded view. The record we're going to look at here in just a minute is found in verse number 21. But these records that are found here span the entire Old Testament, and they bring us right up into the New Testament, pointing us to Jesus Christ, and then beyond, you see there in Hebrews 11:40. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read just one verse this morning, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 21. And then we'll pray. The Bible says, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Now I just want to give you a message entitled this morning, Faithful Till the End. Faithful Till the End. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you help us, Lord, to think about this subject. And Father, as we're celebrating these graduates tonight, we think about those who are taking a step forward in their journey. It's just a beginning step in their journey of life, and the things that you have for them to do, that you've set aside for them to do. But Father, we not only just want to get be right in the beginning, but we want to be faithful on all the way to the very end. And so, Father, would you challenge us with this thought as we see this this record of Jacob that shows one who is faithful unto the very end. Lord, help us to glean truth from that. And then I pray this, if there's someone here again that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, they haven't really begun living. They haven't begun in their journey of life, really. And they need to trust in Christ as their Savior this morning. I pray, Father, if there's someone here like that, that they would know and they'd be challenged with the gospel message and they'd receive Christ as their Savior. Lord, would you help us and challenge us, I pray, and ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm just curious here this morning, because I just want to know, how many, by raise of hand, would say this, I can identify with the patriarch Jacob in the Old Testament scriptures, probably more than anybody else in the Old Testament. Anybody like that in here tonight, this morning? Anybody like that? I'm going to raise my hand. If I had to identify, now a lot of folks would say, I'm going to identify with Joseph. And boy, that'd be a good pick. Why? Because we don't hardly ever see. Well, I found one area actually studying the life of Jacob where he almost went in the bad side there for a moment. And we'll see it here as we go through this sermon. A lot of folks will say, I identify with Joseph. What a gleaming example of Jesus Christ. Maybe some this morning will say, I identify with the Old Testament King David. And boy, what a guy, a champion of faith, right? Or maybe someone who's real spiritual, more spiritual than I, would say, I can identify with Daniel. Boy, it didn't matter what everybody else was doing. He just did what was right. But I'll tell you this, I identify with Jacob. You know why? Jacob struggled in his life. Jacob had a hard time. I believe we can identify easily with Jacob because Jacob is one who struggled with this idea of moving from being a carnal man to being a spiritual man. And I tell you, he had a rough start. Jacob surely did. He came into this world fighting and deceiving and trying to obtain. This was Jacob, the supplanter. We read in the 25th chapter of Genesis of the struggle just in Jacob's birth. And I'll read you the verses beginning in verse 21. It says this, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if I be so, why am I thus? Boy, how many times as a Christian we've come to that place. Lord, why is this going on in my life? Why is this happening to me? And she went to inquire of the Lord. By the way, that's the place you need to go. When you're struggling in life, you don't need to go to Google or ChatGPT. You need to go to the Lord. You need to seek His face. You need to open up the Word of God. And I'm not telling you He'll give you the exact answer maybe you're looking for, but I will tell you this. He'll give you peace for the moment. He'll give you strength for the journey if you'll just go to Him. We find here that she went to the Lord to inquire of Him. And the Lord said unto her, listen, two nations are in thy womb. Now that scared me. Two manner of people should be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after this came the brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, literally heel catcher, supplanter. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. See, Jacob struggling from the very beginning. We see this in the life of Jacob. We see Jacob really doing something that Abraham and Sarah did, try to force the hand of blessing and God in their lives. And we think of Abraham and Sarah with Hagar and the birth of Ishmael, and really Jacob trying to do the same thing by lying to old dad when he got older, right? The God takes this man, this supplanter, this deceiver. God takes this man and he changes him in such a way. Think of it. The supplanter, the deceiver, the trickster. And in the end, he's called Israel, which means a prince with God. What a marvelous work. Can I say this morning, this is God's plan for you as well. This is God's design for you this morning. Can I tell you, my Savior is an expert at taking a broken life and making a new life that brings glory and honor to Him. Maybe you're struggling here this morning. Maybe you say, Pastor, I've messed a whole lot up. And I'll be the first to raise my hand and say the same thing. Listen, God can take your life and He can make something new. The Word of God says here again, let's see what the Holy Spirit of God highlights in verse 21 of chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. We begin first with this simple truth that Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph. Before we can get to that point, you'll notice in the text here, I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit of God is careful to tell us something very particular about Jacob as he speaks about him. He says, Jacob is at the end of his journey. He's at the end of his journey. In fact, the phrase there says, when by faith, Jacob, when he was dying. And I want to remind you of three important truths about that before we get on to the 3 points. Number one, there was an end to Jacob's time here on this earth. And I tell you that every one of us, should the Lord tarry, are going to come up to the same time that Jacob did. An end to your time here on this earth. Now, if the Lord Jesus comes back, that'll be our end to our time, at least at the moment, for their time here on this earth. But Jacob was in that way. He was at the very end. At the very end. Not only that, but number two, following this end of the time of earth, there's an entrance into eternity. And so for every child of God, there's going to be an end to the time here on this earth. And then number two, if you're a child of God, if you receive Christ as your Savior, you'll enter into eternity. And by the way, can I tell you this? If you're not a child of God, you're going to enter into eternity as well. The difference is where you're going to spend an eternity. Now, I believe Jacob was a saved man. I believed he is in heaven right now. He is called Israel, a prince with God. I have no doubt. And so there's an end to his time here on this earth. There's an entrance into eternity. And then number three, as we see here in the text, an evaluation of the life that he lived is given. Now, every one of us, we heard this morning, are going to stand before the Lord. There's no doubt we're going to stand before the Lord one day. The Bible tells us how quickly time passes in James chapter 4. We know this verse so much. We hear it so often. It says, "For what is your life? It's even a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I've told the story many times that when I was young, we used to have to do this thing called waiting at the bus stop. Everybody know what that is? And I'll tell you, when we had to wait at the bus stop, there was snow this high. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say that. But listen, it was early in the morning before the sun came up. And I'd be out there, and many a morning it was cool outside. And my friend and I, as we were there, didn't know any better, so we would just sit there, and we would, we'd blow out as much as we could. And we see the big vapor. What else you got to do when the sun's not up and you're standing at the bus stop, right? We try and see who could have the vapor last the longest. And James simply is saying this, that listen, as fast as that vapor comes and as fast as it goes, that's how quick your time is here on this earth. You see, this life, this journey does not go on forever. There's an end to these things, an end to these things. The Lord Jesus Christ spake the same way concerning his earthly ministry. Now, we understand this, that Jesus is the eternal one. We know this, that he is the God-man, and in his deity, he has no beginning. He has no end. He always is, always was, always will be, no doubt. But in speaking to the disciples, he told them of his mission to die on the cross, be buried, and 3 days later rise again from the grave. And he stated this in Luke 22 and verse number 37, just so they'd know. He says, listen, for the things of me, concerning me, have an end. And friend, that's the way it is for every one of us. The truth for you and I today is the same. There is an end to this time. And immediately following this, there'll be an entrance into eternity. And Paul expressed what perhaps we've thought many times on our own in 2 Corinthians 5:8. He says, "We're confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Friends, can I say this? Aren't you glad this morning? If you know Christ, if you're a child of God, you can be confident of that very fact, that very truth. That when you're absent from this body, you will be present with the Lord. That's a wonderful thought. That the moment I step out of this life in the next, I'm going to meet my Savior and be present with the Lord. I would say to you, if you're here today and don't have that confidence, you can by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Just like Paul, you can walk out of here this morning and say this, "I'm confident that when I'm absent from this body, I'll be present with the Lord." But then, as we'll see here, really demonstrated in this entire chapter, there's an evaluation of the life you live. Do you notice in Hebrews chapter number 11, we have an evaluation of the lives that these folks lived that went before us? How did God summarize their lives? What did God have to say about these individuals? And every one of us, if we live long enough and the Lord doesn't return, we'll come to the end of our time. The question is, will we be faithful till the end? That's the question. Can I encourage you, though, that you can be faithful to the end? The Bible tells us in this record that by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, or you might say it this way, at the very end, all the way up into the very end, he was full of faith. Now, there's three areas that are highlighted here for us, and I want to give them to you. Maybe you can remember them sometime as you continue on your journey. And I'm not trying to submit that every one of you are right at the precipice of stepping into eternity, but you know what? Jesus could come back right now. Before I even get to point number three, that could be it. We could be gone. But there's coming a time, and we need to know, what does it look like? How many say this, Pastor, I just don't want to start well, but I want to end well as well. Would you raise your hand? How many just want to end well as well? Yeah. I don't want to just start well. I want to end well too. And we see that the Holy Spirit of God says that there's some ways we can know how to do that. I don't want to live my life serving the Lord and then, as Paul put it in his language, be cast away at the very end. I don't want to be in that way. I want to finish victorious. I want to be running across the finish line for His glory and for His honor. And I pray that's the way it is with you too. And so notice with me, first of all, if you're taking notes, point number one, if you want to be faithful till the end, we notice, first of all, Jacob's blessing. Jacob's blessing. Now, here's a characteristic of a child of God who continues to walk with the Lord even unto the very end, and that is this, that Jacob was still a blessing to those around him. Jacob, here in our text, blessed his children, and he blessed his grandchildren. He pointed Joseph's two boys to what matters most, and that is Almighty God. In Genesis chapter number 48, let's turn over there for just a moment, flip to the other side of your Bible, the very first record of book of beginnings. In Genesis chapter 48, I want you to see this text. The Bible says in verse number 1, once you get there, Genesis 48, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And he said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and will multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. He says, just like Reuben and Simeon, your sons are going to be a part of my blessing, a part of my blessing. He says, they're mine. Now listen, here's how you can be a blessing to the very end. You ready for it? Number one, continue to testify of God. Continue to testify of God. Listen, someone needs to hear your testimony of how the Lord's worked in your life. Somebody needs to hear about how God has done great and marvelous things in your life. And here's how you can be a blessing to the very end. You just keep testifying of the Lord. Keep giving glory to God. Number two, you can be a blessing all the way to the end by continuing to teach God's ways to others. Friend, you have a wealth of knowledge in the experience that God has given you. Every one of us here this morning, we have different backgrounds, we've been on different journeys, experienced different things, but one thing is the same about all of us, I pray it's the same, is that we know Christ as our Savior, the common ground of the foot of the cross. And listen, God has brought you through some things. God has taught you. He's the master teacher. If you're a child of God, there's certainly something God has taught you in your life. And you know what you need to do with that? You need to turn around and give it to someone else. You need to give all that wealth of wisdom and knowledge to someone else. Many years ago, I thought about missions, and I thought about missionaries going off to foreign fields, and oftentimes they'll go to places in the far-flung parts of the world, and they get out there, and a lot of times missionaries get out there and they'll spend a year, maybe 2 years, just trying to figure it out. Trying to figure out the culture, figure out the language, trying to figure out how it is to reach these people. You know, the same things don't work everywhere where you're at. We use different methods, but the message is the same. And just to give away example, the friend we're praying for this morning was in Papua New Guinea. They were in the bush. They were in the middle of nowhere. You don't go door knocking out in Papua New Guinea. What you do is you go out to the villages and you just get in the center of the village and you just start preaching the gospel. That's what you do. And people just come out and they listen to you. Listen to folks over there walk 10, 12 miles just to come and listen to the Word of God. It's a totally different environment. But I meant to say this, is that a lot of times missionaries have to take a good amount of time just to figure it out. And listen, we've got all this wealth of knowledge at our fingertips. How many folks have gone to the bush in Papua New Guinea? Why don't we put those two together and they can learn one from another before someone even ever gets out there? All I'm simply saying is just teach someone else about God's ways. Show somebody else what God has taught you in your life. Let us take what we know and give it to someone else. So vitally important, especially we think about our young folks today. In verses 4 and 5, and really through the rest of the chapter, Jacob declares to Joseph, to Manasseh, to Ephraim, here is what got me through. This is what Jacob's saying. This is what carried me through life. Here's how I was sustained all through my life. Here is why I've been so blessed and why you're going to be blessed as a family because of my God. He says, you need to know it was not me. It was the Lord that worked in my life. Friends, if you want to be a blessing to others all the way to the end, continue to testify of the Lord. But then also we see Jacob continued to teach God's ways. And as this chapter unfolds, Jacob does something very unusual. He blesses Joseph, but then he has the privilege to bless his grandchildren. And can I just stop right there and ask you, are you a blessing to your family today? Are you a blessing to your family? It's a good question for us to ask ourselves. Let me ask further, are you a blessing to your children? Are you a blessing to your grandchildren? I pray the answer is yes. Let me ask a third question, are you a blessing to the family of God? Are you personally a blessing to the family of God? You see, we see something peculiar in verse number 17. Would you look at it with me? Verse 17 through 21, the Bible says, let's look at verse 15. We'll just back up there. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw his father laid his right hand upon Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head. That's the moment where I say Joseph almost just crossed into the wrong way. He held his father's hand up. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day. He blessed them that day. We see in this moment that Joseph almost got a little indignant at his father, didn't he? Isn't it interesting today how often it is that the younger ones coming up in the Lord would like to look to those that have some age physically and spiritually and maybe say something this, well, we just don't do it like that now. We just don't do it that way now. You know what Jacob was doing? He was telling Joseph, Joseph, you already know this. You already know this. In fact, you're the younger who was blessed by God. Listen, yield to God and in His ways. Yield to His ways. You see, the point is that God's way is the only way to travel in this life. And I don't want to make too much of this because, I don't know, it's just circumstantial, but you know this. When old Jacob was blessing Ephraim and Manasseh, he wittingly guided his hands. He literally forms a cross there in the presence of Joseph. And I don't want to make too much of that. But in a sense, he's just saying this. You need to follow God. You need to follow His ways. You need to listen to what I'm saying. You see, the elder Christians need to tell the younger Christians all the way to the very end, walk according to the ways of the Lord. And can I tell you, you will be a blessing all the way to the end if you'll just testify of the Lord and you'll continue to teach God's ways. Look with me back at our text in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 21. The Bible says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. But then number two, we have Joseph's bowing. Joseph's bowing. Joseph's blessing. But now we have number two, Joseph's bowing. You see, Jacob worshiped God. The psalmist declares in Psalm 84:4, blessed are they, listen carefully, that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Now, the psalmist is speaking here of coming to the temple. He was speaking of the meeting place of God. And I'm so thankful the Lord has given us a great church house here at Liberty Baptist Church. I'm so grateful for that. But the idea in this verse is not necessarily get fixated on a place. The idea is this, is that I'm worshiping in the presence of the Lord. And can I tell you this, that if you stop worshiping the Lord, you will not be praising Him still. I can guarantee it. Rather, you'll draw up like you've eaten a handful of persimmons. How many has ever tasted a persimmon? I'm so sorry. My wife and I got the crazy idea one day to get a persimmon and taste it. I don't even know why we did it. It just looked interesting. We thought, huh, we're going to try that out. Friend, you put your tongue to persimmon and the whole round part of your mouth will just draw up like this. I mean, you'll feel like, what in the world just happened to me? I was in the store just the other day, not to be funny, but I saw dragon fruit, and I was thinking in my mind, I wonder what dragon fruit tastes like. I think we had a conversation about that. And somebody told me, don't do it. The consistency is nasty, and it doesn't taste as good as you think. And praise the Lord. Listen, I didn't have to experience that to find out it was not good. I just trusted them for it. And can I say this? Listen, you don't have to experience what it's like to be out of fellowship with the Lord. You can just trust me that you'll be a sour Christian if you stop worshiping the Lord. See, you can, as a child of God, right up into the very end, be bowing down in worship to the Lord. The psalmist says, listen, if you spend time in His presence, if you dwell where God is, then you'll be still praising Him. You'll be still praising Him. And then he says, Selah. You know what that means? You need to think about that a little bit. You need to dwell on that thought for just a moment. Now think about what you're missing by not assembling with the brethren at the house of God. Think about what you're missing by not opening up your Bible and spending time with the Lord. Think about what you're missing by not spending time in prayer. Think about what you're missing by not singing hymns, praises, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. You want to be still praising Him still? Spend time in His presence. The Bible says in Psalm 95, verse 6, 7, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Not only do we see Jacob's blessing, Jacob's bowing, but then lastly, as we close, Jacob's belief. Jacob's belief. You notice here, right in the passage, it says, he blessed both the sons of Joseph. He worshiped. And then look at the last part there, leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, I'm just going to tell you, nothing is real until it's personal. You cannot ride on the coat strings of someone else's faith. It must be personal for you. And for Jacob, this was something personal. Jacob leaned upon his staff all the way to the very end of his life. It was the staff that Jacob had that reminded him of whose he was. It was a signal moment in the life of Jacob that changed him forever. It's found in Genesis chapter 32. We won't take the time to go there, but the Bible tells us of that event, that signal event, in Genesis chapter 32. In verse 22, it says he rose up in the night, he took his wives, he took his two woman servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent all that he had. And then these last words, I've got them highlighted here. And Jacob was left alone. And I stop right here and say this, that every one of us must come to God ourselves. You must come to God yourself. I can't do it for you. Here Jacob is, he's left alone. There was a point in Jacob's life when he understood that it was him and the Lord alone. The Bible goes on and says, there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. We understand this man, I believe, was none other than the Lord Jesus prior to his incarnation. Verse 25 tells us that when he was saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Could I say further this, that there's a battle going on inside of each one of us. There's a battle going on inside each one of us. For the one that's lost is for the souls of men, no doubt. For one that's saved is the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And here Jacob is, think of him, the trickster, the supplanter, the one that deceived others. Here he's come to the end of his ways. On the horizon is his brother coming to meet him. And in his heart and his mind, he knows this is not going to be good. Why? 20 years ago, I deceived him. And now he's having to meet his brother, and he cries out to God right before this. And here he is wrestling. And God simply touches him, disables him. Can I tell you that when God touches you, you'll know it? See, God's not ineffectual to communicate. When God moves in your life in such a way, you'll know it. The Bible says in verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, I don't know if he just leaned his head down. I believe maybe he probably is Jacob. Supplanter, trickster, deceiver. That's what I've been known of my whole life. I'm the one who could get ahead by deceiving everybody else, by tricking everybody else, by stepping over other people. He says, guess what? Because I've touched your life. You're no more going to be Jacob. You're going to be Israel, a prince with God. Jacob, because of his encounter with the Lord, is no longer a deceiver, but now he's a prince and has power with God. The Bible tells us in verse 31, as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him. Listen, he halted upon his thigh. Forever after this, Jacob would hobble around. Man, he was a man's man. If you read the life of Jacob, you understand he was a strong man. Now he's limping around, leaning upon his staff, leaning upon the Lord. Verse 10 of the text in that chapter, Jacob is praying to the Lord, and he says to the Lord in that prayer, I came here in my own strength. I've passed over with my own staff. I've entered into this place. I've made a mess of my life. This is what Jacob says in his cry to the Lord. But now he doesn't pass over in his own strength. He now continues in the strength of the Lord, leaning upon his staff. And Jacob learned this, my friend. The only way to live this life is to rely upon the Lord. The Lord Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in, listen, weakness. Ephesians 6, we're told, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Jacob's staff was a reminder for his entire life of the day that God touched him. You see, Jacob was full of faith all the way to the end because of his belief, because of his bowing, and because of his blessing. You see, the day that he met the Lord, it changed him forever. The only way that you and I will be full of faith to the very end is that we lean upon the power of God. Maybe you're here this morning and there's never been a singular moment in your life when you've met the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you, could I challenge you here in just a moment to come trust Christ as your Savior? Don't worry about what everybody else is thinking. Don't worry about what everybody else may say. If you've never trusted in Christ, today is a day of salvation. Friend, when you meet Christ, you'll know it. You'll know it. Maybe you're here today and you've never had that singular moment. You can enter into a vital relationship with God Himself this very day. He can touch your life too, and I promise you this, you'll be changed forever. I've got another question as we close, just one more. Are you a blessing to others? Are you still a blessing to others? Our lives are to be, as a child of God, ought to be a blessing to all around us. We ought to be influencing other people. We ought to be proclaiming the goodness of the Lord in our lives. We ought to be teaching others the gospel message and that the only way to live is in the power of Christ. And again, I ask, is your life a blessing to others? And then lastly, do you live consciously in the presence of the Lord? You see, we get the phony idea that worship is just what takes place right here at the church house on Sunday. And then when we walk out the door, we don't ever live consciously in the presence of the Lord anymore. Friend, worship should take place all the time as you live consciously in the presence of the Lord. You know what? That'll change a lot of our habits. It'll change a lot of things we do. It'll change a lot of things we say, because we know this: I'm in the presence of God. I'm in the presence of the Lord. Are you going to worship all the way up into the end? You're going to be bowing all the way to the end. We see in Jacob's life, blessing others by his walk with the Lord, bowing in worship before the Lord, and he lived a life of belief in the Lord visibly that everybody else knew it. You see, that staff was with him everywhere he went. That hobbling could not be missed. Friend, does everybody know you're a Christian? Do they see you relying upon the power of God in your life? Are you leaning upon the staff that God has given you? Let me ask it that way. That's a challenging thought, isn't it? Be a blessing. Be bowing. Be believing all the way to the end. Faithful to the end. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly